Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Listen, for the voice of God comes near. Listen, for God's voice is not obtrusive. We come to worship the God who became one of us, who calls us by name, who is love incarnate, who is. Let us gather together in joy and hope. Let us worship the God of love. Affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who is created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Psalms 22, verses 1 through 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
We sing,
grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is great. Stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Singing grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse with. Grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Singing grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse with. That is greater than all our sin. Singing grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is greater than all our sin.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was a pastor in a small Midwestern city that sat reading the Saturday newspaper. He turned to the religion section and was surprised to see a full-page article on a sister church in the community. That following week, he called the pastor and asked how he managed to get such a fantastic coverage in the newspaper. And his colleague answered, "Oh, that's easy to explain. We have the managing editor in our congregation." In other words, he had a contact on the inside, someone with clout, with leverage, with pull. As the old worldly expression goes, it ain't what you know so much as who you know. Have you ever had an experience where it paid to know the right person? Perhaps you had a relative or a friend in just the right position, then they were able to assist you. It pays to have someone you know in high places, like the young man who landed a position with a reputable firm because his mother-in-law was an executive there, or the instance when two tickets to the World Series were received by two brothers from their best friend who happened to be a player for the Yankees. Our scripture today in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, tells us that believers have positional advantage. They have a high priest who goes to the Father on their behalf. They have spiritual clout, leverage, someone on the inside. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have found your way into the kingdom of God. And that means forgiveness. It means salvation, eternal life, heaven, peace within, joy unspeakable, contentment, and adoption. And if you've found your way into God's family, it's not because we deserve to be there or because we worked our way in, but because Jesus set his love upon us and opened the way by giving his very life for us. If we've been born again, we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. If we're walking in fellowship with God, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. If we truly know the Lord, we can find grace to help in time of need. Gideon defeated the Amalekites because he knew somebody. Daniel survived dinner at the Lion's Club because he knew somebody. David was able to defeat the giant because he knew somebody. Moses was able to lead Israel out of bondage because he knew somebody. Peter and John, they were delivered from prison because they knew somebody. And if you and I are experiencing the power of God in our lives today, it's because we know somebody. And that somebody is none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So rejoice in him and have the fact that he died to redeem and to sustain you. As we come to the throne room, we do so with a certain attitude. We must come with reverence. We must tiptoe in. We are in the presence of the Almighty, the Holy One. We must come with humility. It's only by his grace that we can be afforded entrance into that place. We come with thanksgiving, with excitement, with joy. We come with faith, quoting Hebrews 11:6 all the way. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We must come with confidence in his love for us and his desire that we approach him with. We also come with boldness, and that would be from Hebrews 4, verse 16. I'll tell you a quick story here. A father took his children to the county fair one day. Since they were obviously not interested in the animals, the father bought a whole roll of tickets for the various rides, and of course, kids were excited about that. And as each of the children approached a ride, they would hold out their hand to get a ticket from their father. At one ride, after all his children had received tickets, a strange boy held out his hands, expecting a ticket. Well, he wasn't about to give his ticket to this boy, so he drew his hand back. Upon seeing this, his son Stephen turned and said to his dad, "Dad, it's okay. This is my friend. I told him that you would give him a ticket." Do you know what that father did? He gave the boy a ticket in Stephen's name. You see, that boy got a ride not because of what he knew, but because of who he knew. That's called positional advantage. I'll also tell you a story about a crossing of the Atlantic on an ocean liner. F.B. Meyer was asked to speak to the first class passengers. At the captain's request, he spoke on unanswered prayer. And an agnostic who was present at the service was asked by his friends, "What did you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" "I didn't believe a word of it," he answered. Well, that afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the fourth class passengers, and many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including the agnostic, who claimed he just wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. But before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. On his way, he passed an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair, fast asleep. Her hands, they were open. And in the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her open hands. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the oranges. "You seem to be enjoying that orange," he said with a smile. "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "Your father? Surely your father can't still be alive." "Praise God," she said. "He is very much alive. I've been seasick for days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange. I suppose I fell asleep when I was praying. When I awoke, I found he had not only sent me one orange, but two." The agnostic, of course, was very speechless. You see, there are advantages to knowing the right person. We have access to God. The word access is found only three times in the New Testament. Romans 5, verses 1 through 2, Ephesians 2, verse 18, and Ephesians 3, verse 12. These three passages teach us four things about access. We have access into grace, according to Romans 5, 2. God's throne is the throne of grace, that undeserved favor which he has for us. We also have access to the Father, Ephesians 2:18. Though he is sovereign, we can still approach him as a child does a father. We have access through Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5. The blood gives us a certain boldness that comes back from Hebrews 10, verse 19. And then we have access by our faith, Romans 5:2 again, Ephesians 3:12, and the essential ingredient in faith is prayer. Comes from Hebrews 10, verse 22. Privilege always carries with it responsibility. So what is our responsibility to our privilege? We must pray. We pray because of what prayer does to us. Someone once asked Scottish minister George MacDonald, "Why pray if God loves us and knows everything we need before we ask?" MacDonald answered, "Well, what if he knows that prayer is the one thing that we need first and most? What if the main object in God's idea of prayer is the supplying of our greatest need, the need of God himself?" We must also pray because of what it does in the church. V. Raymond Edmond, the past president of Wheaton College, when he was a missionary in Ecuador, lay so near death that his wife actually dyed her wedding dress black for his funeral. But thousands of miles away in Boston, Massachusetts, Dr. Joseph Evans, unaware of Edmund's plight, unaware that Edmund was likely to die, responded to the Spirit's direction to have his prayer group pray for Edmund. They prayed desperately until Evans concluded, "Praise the Lord, the victory is won." Edmund was healed, and he served the Lord for 40 more years. We also must pray because Jesus prayed. He prayed because of the demands of the people. Their needs were so great. He became exhausted in prayer, physically and emotionally. Also, his enemies were closing in on him. Even though he was God and also man, he felt the pressure. So he got away, alone with the Father. That's what we need on occasion. It might be in a parked car, a church sanctuary, a public park, a bedroom, a bathroom, even a cemetery. The point is that we need a place and a time where we can hear God and where he can hear from us as well. It will take sacrifice and discipline and planning. We will have to make room for it in our lives. But it's important enough that we do so. Dr. J. Sidlow Baxter struggled with making time for prayer, so he realized that there was a part of him that wanted to pray and a part of him that didn't. That part that didn't was his emotions, and the part that did was his intellect and will. Here's what he wrote in his diary as he struggled his way to victory. As never before, my will and I stood face to face. I asked my will the straight question, "Will, are you ready for an hour of prayer?" Will answered, "Here I am, and I'm quite ready if you are." So Will and I linked arms and turned to go for our time of prayer. At once, all the emotions began pulling the other way and protesting, "We're not coming." I saw Will stagger just a bit, so I asked, "Can you stick it out, Will?" Will replied, "I can if you can." So Will went, and we got down to pray, dragging those wriggling emotions with us. When you pray, you need to remember three important things. The love of God, He wants the best for you. The wisdom of God knows what's best for you. And the power of God can accomplish what is best for you. Thomas Watson once wrote, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." Finally, you don't typically think of military leaders being very religious, but General Robert E. Lee, he wrote, "Knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and a supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge you to be people of prayer. Believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that we can make in this critical hour, I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves, that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ's redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice." Let us pray this morning. Father God, I come before you in awe of who you are and of the amazing privilege that we have to approach your throne. Thank you for this awesome gift that you give us today through your word. Today, we bring these requests before you for all those in need, and we humbly lay them at your feet. Where there is pain, apply a soothing balm. Where there is sorrow, fill them with joy. Where there is turmoil, grant them peace. Where there is confusion, give clarity. Where there is deep hurt, deliver encouragement. Restore hope to the hopeless, rest for the weary, sweet comfort for the brokenhearted. To those who've lost their way, gently steer them back on the path to you. To those that are in a season of loneliness, show them that you are the friend above all friends. To those that are sick, place your healing hand upon them. Minister deeply to their hurting spirits. Strengthen the weak. Cheer up the downhearted. Wrap those in need of your loving embrace and allow your sweet Holy Spirit to flow freely through their bodies and do a mighty work. Draw us all closer to you and fill us with your love unimaginable. Above all, thank you for introducing us to Jesus. Because we know him, we can claim eternity, free from all that afflicts us today, with promise of an abundance of life to come. We pray this in the mighty and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught say, it is well, it is well.
pictures of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the
listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.